A very good evening to you and welcome to your number one technology radio conversation on Ghana Radio. Welcome to City Trends. On the show today, we speak about women, technology and entrepreneurship. Our guest is Ethel Kofi, CEO of Edel Technology Consulting.
But that narrative is, as much as it's great, doesn't actually help us build strong ecosystems of women in the tech sector. So we now end up with 10,000 people that have marginal skills that can do something, or but they have to go and they're not great developers at that point. They have to go and work and go deeper.
We also catch up on the happenings in the world of tech in the last week with Amishadai Ofori in the trending segment of the show. Jeffrey will be here with some of the mobile applications to get you busy on your device in the app segment of the show. You can also be part of the show by sharing your thoughts, opinions, and questions via our WhatsApp number 054-9986-996. You can also get in touch via Twitter using the hashtag CityTrends. Alternatively, send me a message via my Twitter handle at Kofi Ashon. The show is live and interactive. Well, it's another Tuesday on 97.3 City FM, and there is no other conversation to be had but a technology conversation. But what kind of technology conversation are we going to have today? Well, it's a very feminine kind of conversation we're going to have on the show, and we are going to be exploring who the women change makers are within the tech ecosystem in Ghana, what exactly they are doing, and what opportunities there are for other women who want to explore this space on. Well, we can't have a conversation like this without her. Her name is Ethel. And now, Ethel happens to be the brain behind quite a number of things. But one of the things that are very close to her heart is getting women more and more involved in the tech space. So she's here for us to have this conversation. And I do hope that you stick around and learn a few things, even for your female friends or your daughters who want to get into the technology space. Ethel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Philip. Thank you for inviting me. This is my first time this year.
Yes, so 2017 has
so
brought
happy
you
new
along.
Year.
Happy New Year to you too. Now, I mean, I know there's been a lot happening within the technology space with regard to women. Let's start off the conversation with what exactly women are doing currently within the space before we get to the opportunities available and probably moving on from there, what we can do to help out.
Right. Well, so at the end of last year, there were, you know, when they write the think pieces at the end of the year, they said that the tech space for 2017 will be the year of the woman. So we are very excited about that.
We should be.
There are a number of interesting things happening in the space right now, especially for sort of women in technology sector. So there's a lot of crossover with technology entrepreneurship, right? So that's become a new thing now, to ensuring that women are not only just going into tech careers, but they are building tech businesses. And there's a very interesting and controversial sector which is rising now is the femtech sex tech industry.
Femtech,
sex tech. Yes.
Okay.
So this is technology products built around sex and female technology and sex technology. It's a $30 billion business.
Incredible.
And a large number of the women, not in Ghana, but outside worldwide, globally, a large number of women are actually building tech businesses in the sector. So it's all very interesting.
That is very interesting. But how many of them are actually doing this in Ghana?
So first of all, if you're going to build a sex tech firm in Ghana, you know that you're going to get in trouble.
Yes, you will.
But one of my things this year is to actually do a lot of crossover events so that women understand what the space is about and see where they can build businesses. Because I think that if it's a $30 billion business, why not go and make money?
It's all well and good when you think about it in those terms, mm-hmm. on a global sense.
Right.
But it just doesn't feel like we're having a number of women getting very deeply involved with the tech space in Ghana. I don't know if that bothers you or not.
Right.
You know, and I just feel that not too many women are getting involved in the tech space in Ghana. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Okay, so you're going to get me into trouble now. So from my standpoint, in the last 10 years, I think we're not where we're meant to be. We've definitely come far. Mm. But yes, you're right. So a lot of the programs that are meant to draw women into the tech sector, and you know, I run Women in Tech, we're in 30 African countries, and so I take some blame for this. There, some of the programs are not, they're very surface, they're not deep enough, right? So we do 1 day, 2 day, 3 day coding workshops. We do a 6 weeks mobile training course for the girls, and we leave them and we say, oh, we prepare them for tech, and actually we're doing a really bad job of it. So you're right, we're doing a lot of, there's a lot of surface work, and I, because I'm in the industry, I can, you know, add myself to the,
so you need to blame yourself more.
We're doing, and we've done too much surface work. I think I say the same thing for entrepreneurship. When we have programs where they give 10,000 entrepreneurs 5,000, it's the same concept, is that we want, we're the donors and people that work with us, they like the numbers, right? So we've worked with 5,000 women, 10,000 women. It's very exciting.
That narrative is good.
Yes, but that narrative is, as much as it's great, doesn't actually help us build strong ecosystems of women in the tech sector. So we now end up with 10,000 people that have marginal skills that can do something, or but they have to go, and they're not great developers at that point, they have to go and work and be and go deeper. So I, this year, I'm really, really, especially with women in tech, I'm really about, even if we're able to work with 10, 15, 20 women and make them great technical architects, really great experts in their field, I think that we would have done a much better service than we're doing with 100, 200, 300 girls.
So it's more a numbers game in terms of satisfying the people who are doling out the cash to sponsor the event, instead of actually having a long-term plan of developing the people for, you know, the industry.
Right, and maybe how, what we are pitching to, I mean, for corporate sponsors, it's a different discussion, but maybe how we're pitching to the non, to the donors and the funders, we need to change our approach, and we need to get better at telling our story, because it's nice to say, all well and good, it's nice to say, you know, 1,000 women, and that's an easy KPI, you know, it's an easy KPI, but
Once it's done, it's
yeah,
on paper.
Yeah, so, but when you say 10, 10 doesn't sound as, you know, so maybe
even
we're not
though,
telling
even
our story
the
well.
Quality, even though the quality is better, it doesn't look so good when it comes to sponsorship. And I mean, you can't organize events like you do without the sponsorship. So
that's true.
It's a very fine balance that you need. But I guess my other question is, what about the women who are actually getting the education?
Right.
Do we have more and more people wanting to get more of that education, or they just enjoy the surface as it comes and then try to figure the rest out?
So that's a hard question to answer. So the people that argue with us that women don't want to be in tech always come up with that. This, women don't want to be in tech careers, or they would be. So I cannot answer that question, but what all I can say is that we need to give women choices. That's my point. I'm not saying everybody should go in tech. I'm not saying everybody should be an engineer. But we need to show the girls and the ladies that there are different paths to take. And if we can expose that to them, and for them to understand that there are different paths to take, then that's a choice they make. But that's a hard question to answer. I think that if it's exciting for women, okay, so if you look back at the beginnings of computer science and, you know, Turing and that whole story, when computers and computer science were thought of as administrative jobs, more women were in the field until it became a technical science job, right? So that tells us there's, you know, that maybe there's a framing thing there.
Well, I mean, and that's where my difficulty is, though, sometimes. I mean, yes, it's a probably framed as a technical job, but then women have thrived in those positions. And I mean, the argument is, if some women have been able to thrive in those positions, then we should be able to get more and more women involved. Now, I guess my next question to you will be, so which areas within the space do you think have openings or have opportunities for more and more women to get into in 2017?
All right. So they're the easy, obvious areas, right? So the digital media space and then the digital advertising spaces, is sort of an easy, because we have a lot of women in marketing and advertising, that's an easy segue. But I think intuitiveness and being able to understand what users are saying, something that comes naturally, not to all women, but to most women, or at least culture tells us, you know, teaches us to be listen a bit more. And I think around product design, women are listening more to what the customers are saying, and they're paying attention to environment and what's happening. And so I think even in just design thinking and product design space, if we are to believe that, you know, culturally women are trained to be listeners and that sort of thing, then we're actually perfect for those kind of roles. So, but we also need to kill this myth of I can't code. I have to deal with that quite a bit, and it annoys me to no end. If you could do maths in school, guess what? You can code.
Well, since I was so terrible at math in school, I guess that's probably why I can't code to save my life. Well, listeners, you're still tuning in to 97.3 CTFM. The show is City Trends, and we are speaking with Ethel Kofi, and she is the brain behind Women in Tech, as well as Adele Technology Consulting. And she's been very, very busy within the space in terms of getting more and more women to get more involved within, in terms of providing technology solutions to some of our everyday problems. So, moving on steadily and drawing a close to this conversation, Ethel, in 2017, how are we approaching solving technology problems, especially from a feminine sort of point of view?
So, I've heard a lot of, we are in sort of the new dispensation that we're in, I've heard a lot of, we'll be using technology to do this, and we will Wi-Fi Accra, and we will do this, which is all good and all.
It's a great way to end the story. It makes it very flowery and
so it means that cozy. We're in this place where I think that we're open to technology. That's what I can see or I can sense. So hopefully there will be more opportunities for the women in the space to build businesses on top of all these contracts and projects that will be coming out of.
If you can only sense it, yes.
That there will be a lot of projects out there, and hopefully that will mean that more people will have the chance to sort of try their skill sets. Having said that, I do want to end with, I do want to hear more about policy. Because for me, the projects are great, but it's more important to have policy so that we can grow as a technology sector. So that's my only thing.
So lots of things happening in terms of women and technology. I do hope this conversation has given you a good idea of what sort of spaces are still available to women within the technology space in Ghana. The show is City Trends. My name is Philippa Sean. And now it's time for the trending segment of the show. For those of you who are not aware, this segment of the show basically gives us an idea of the top trending technology stories from across the week. And Amisha Dayofori, who's a CEO of Flippy Campus, and he's a tech entrepreneur, basically, and a poet. Very, very interesting. Such a wide range of talent boxed up into one individual, and he brings us the trending segment of the show. Amisha Dai, you're welcome.
Thank you, Philip.
Such a very, very great week this week has been. Lots and lots of things happening from so many different sectors. What were the top stories that caught your attention?
All right, so this week I would like us to narrow it in. So let's take it from the international perspective, and then we narrow it in
to the local scene.
Excellent. What is happening is today, it's Tuesday, 21st of February, and WhatsApp just announced WhatsApp statuses.
What exactly is that?
WhatsApp statuses is the way Facebook plans to get rid of Snapchat. So what this means is that now, you see how first of all, you used to change your statuses with just text.
Yes.
Like you're busy, etc.
Exactly. Now, available.
Funny enough, that's how WhatsApp started, actually. Yeah. Just to keep people, you know, updated on your status. And which was great, but it evolved
into a messaging.
Yes. And then as they turn 8 years on 24th, they're evolving even more. So now with your status, you can share pictures and short videos depicting your status, aka Instagram stories, aka Snapchat, aka Facebook, everything it is trying to do.
I mean, after everything that Instagram did, like Instagram stories, you would think that that's the end in terms of the invitation game. But it looks like Facebook is taking a step further with WhatsApp. I mean, okay, I can understand the logic of it. But come on.
No, come on. See, if you have the money and the resources and the tech guys to do it, I say go ahead and do it. But I would totally do it if I was Facebook.
Right.
Take over the world. Why not? Like, you can do it, so do it. And I think it's ingenious.
Right.
I mean, to modify status, I can't wait to do it. This is the only Snapchat-like feature I'm going to start doing.
Right.
Because even with Instagram stories, I sort of shied away from it a little, right? But I get how this makes sense. And
because it kind of gets very boring when I check out people's Facebook statuses and it's just some bunch of words. It would be nice to see, like, all these, you know, during the day, what you're doing, whether it's a smiley face or like a short video or a GIF. It would be very, very interesting.
Unfortunately, though, this means that our lives to be spent on Facebook-owned companies. That's what it means.
Yeah.
But on the tech side, though, it uses end-to-end encryption. What that means is that only your contacts on WhatsApp can see, so people can't peer, which, of course, they already do.
Yeah.
So WhatsApp is turning 8 years on the 24th of February.
Nice.
This is the feature they are launching, and I think it is great. Like, I am so WhatsApp biased right now. I think it's awesome.
First of all, it's a brilliant platform to message on. And with all these additions, I think it's coming on Friday. I can only imagine just how much more of our data Facebook will have access to.
Oh.
But, you know, it's a small price to pay, quote unquote.
It's a
quote unquote small price to pay for the ease through which we are able to communicate with each other every day.
So, yeah, that's from WhatsApp, Facebook company. Mm. And then we go on to their competitors, Snapchat.
Oh.
Yeah, so Snapchat released Snapchat glasses some time ago. Last year, we talked about it. And this year, they are saying they are going to retail their Snapchat glasses online, right?
Okay.
So what they did was they had Snapchat bots, in quotes. They were vending machines for selling their Snapchat glasses in specific areas in the US.
Okay.
But it seems it has become so popular, Snapchat is now selling their glasses online.
Someone will ask, like, what Snapchat glasses, like, you wear it and it snap, like, what?
Yo, so Snapchat glasses comes with inbuilt camera that you can use to take snaps and also, you know, do all basic Snapchat postings with the glasses. Right, so it's the world you are viewing. How about you share it? And it makes, well, I was almost going to say it makes sense. It doesn't make sense to me. But, Philip, like last week alone, I realized there was a 60-year-old man using Snapchat glasses. That means that it's a big deal in
for
the US.
People.
Yeah, for some people.
For some people. We still haven't figured it out.
We still haven't.
Okay, because I haven't figured it out yet, but I guess some people have. And kudos to you if you have.
Right. But Snapchat is like rapidly becoming the central hub for advertisements for companies. You know that. So
that's true. Especially news agencies.
Yeah. Mm. So, well, the earlier you get on it, the better, I guess, if you want to make a lot of money.
Mm.
But
then now that Facebook is stealing virtually everything that Snapchat has to offer, you know, just stick with Facebook and just have a good day.
I would appreciate a company like Snapchat competing with the likes of Facebook, though. Like, it would be good for them to go ahead on, just so there's no, you know, monopoly in the system.
You know that once Facebook launches its search engine, that's basically it.
Yo, that's it.
That's it. They basically wiped out all competition.
We start Facebooking people.
Fingers crossed for no search engine by Facebook. It will happen anyway. It's just a matter of time. Anyway, so are those the only stories that caught your attention?
Yeah, so from the international scene, I think we can play with these stories. But from the local tech scene, because we want to hype a lot of local people now, from the blog GH Tech Run Up, okay, we have a list of tech of Ghanaian tech startups who featured in prominent US accelerators from around the world,
okay.
especially last year, right? So from the Y Combinator, which is like one of the most intense accelerator programs in the US, we had Tress, and then we had OMG Digital, and then we had Shipmate. So Tress is like the Instagram for natural hair in for all African ladies, and I think it's great. Like, when you go there, you get a lot of hair ideas for yourself.
Very funny. Very funny.
And then we have Shipmate. Shipmate is a peer-to-peer delivery system.
Okay.
So, let's say you're going to the US very soon. I want you to help me get an iPhone 7, right? Someone can use Shipmate. You would use Shipmate to get me an iPhone 7, and then you get some money through it. Sort of, yeah. And then we have OMD Digital. They are quickly becoming one of the main places where people get information. You see that? And they are like third on the list now.
I see.
So they were all in the Y Combinator program. Mm-hmm. And then I get it because it's the amount of support you get in the program and the challenge it brings you that will let you get there. So kudos to these guys. There are other lists as well. You can find all of them there. But the Bisa app.
Yes.
Right.
The Bisa app.
It's starting to make waves.
Well, it should. It's taken long enough for it to... I mean, it already has made waves and it's very, very popular as a platform.
Uh-huh. You know,
basically a platform for people who have questions for doctors and the doctors are there to give advice as and when. What else have they been up to?
Yeah, so these guys are basically now like... apart from the fact that it's free on Free Basic, right? They are everywhere now. I hear it on City FM, everything. Naturally, I used to shy away from applications that let me ask for help from doctors online because, first of all, I thought maybe the doctors won't be available or they just won't have time for me. But it looks like Bisa app is making like it's making it work. And I read on their profile and they have been quite consistent.
Yeah.
So I think they are worth mentioning. Mm. You can check them out. They are available on Free Basic. That means that when you go to www.freebasics.org, you can use the app for free, which is great. Like, get medical help for free on
medical
a free
advice.
Medical advice.
You would have to go to the hospital, but then if you need first aid, like really, really quick, it's the best place to get free medical advice.
Yeah. So, have you used it? Have you tried
I have.
It?
I have actually.
And was it good?
It does.
Was it good?
It does. Like, it's basic information that you need.
Okay.
Like, if you have an emergency right now and you need, okay, so what should I do? What's the next move? Getting to the hospital is probably going to take a while. You just go there, ask whatever information. If you're going through something, you have a headache. It's basic.
Instead of Googling
health,
it.
Basic health information. Yeah, and, you know, there's a certain level of personal, you
okay.
know, connection with
okay.
it. You know, it's not like Google giving you some bland options. This is All actually right. a doctor,
okay.
a medical professional. I've always loved it
okay.
ever since I interviewed the CEO. I think it's a very, very brilliant app. And it's great that we bring it up again.
Okay, cool. So the last one I'd like to talk about is Landmap.
Okay.
Right? And Landmap is an app that helps smallholder farmers to document and protect their land holdings.
Mm-hmm.
I find it interesting because farmers are usually not assumed to be literate. However, I found a lot of even my colleagues going into farming, right? So if they are going to be using tech to be able to help them protect their lands, and I think it's great. But the reason why they are making news now is that they have raised funding from Omidia Funding, right? It's an international funding group. What I found interesting was that they didn't want to disclose the funding amount. I'm like, guys, come on, like... Give us our information to
family members will come.
Yo, family members. Anyway, yeah. So big ups to these guys. Omidia Network has also invested in Hotels.ng, Zuna, and Wheels. Where's My Transport? So they've invested in a couple of cool startups. Hopefully, the investment is not just cash. It's great when you have an investor who is also investing in your startup as well, apart from just cash.
Yeah.
So big ups to these three guys. These local guys. I appreciate what they are doing because I'm in the same space, you know.
Exactly. And speaking about being in the same space, next week we are going to be speaking to Amishadai about an entrepreneurship program that Flippy Campus has actually put together. Very, very interesting stuff. But then with that, we draw curtains on the trending segment of the show for today. Stay tuned in for the app segment of the show with Jeffrey Oriokusak.
Well, it's now time for us to delve into the app segment of the show. Now, for those of you who are not really sure, this segment of the show basically gives you an idea of some of the mobile applications that you can download onto your phone and get very busy and more productive with your mobile devices. This segment I do with Jeffrey Oyekusapo. Jeffrey, welcome.
Thank you, Phil.
Okay, so what applications do you have for us this week?
First of all, I'm feeling hungry, so I'm bringing something about food.
Okay. I'm sure this is an app that everybody will be very interested in.
You will love it.
Okay.
The first app, please forgive me if you speak Kasem. They say it's Wodiru.
Wodiru.
I don't know what it means. They said it's food, but I don't know how to pronounce it well.
Wodiru.
So, yeah. If it's Wodiru, 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 which one it is?
What's the spelling?
W... O-D-I-R-U.
Mm-hmm. W-O-D-I-R-U. R-U.
Yes.
I see. So what is this app? What does it do?
So if I tell you it's about food, what do you think it will be about?
I don't know. It has pictures of food.
Really?
I don't know. What exactly?
Okay, it gives you Ghanaian recipes.
Okay.
And that's not all. It gives you various measurements that we Ghanaians do when it comes to food.
Okay.
So,
as compared to...
some of it,
yeah, and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, what we say 1 pound is actually 16 ounces.
Okay.
8 fluid ounces is equal to 1 cup.
Yeah. So the breakdown like that, because a lot of people when they're cooking or when they pick up cookbooks don't really know the local
what to do with those things. So 16 ounces. What does it mean?
This app will break it down.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Then when we go to the menu.
Okay.
We have meal menu and snacks and drinks.
Okay.
We have some foods like abenkwang, egusi soup, akple with fetri dechi. Please forgive me.
So basically what this does is it gives you the food, it gives you the recipe, how to cook it.
Yeah.
And the ingredients required and everything. And what I think I like about this is that if... like, you know, they've mentioned 3 ounces of this or 2 cups of that, and you're not really sure, you can just go back into the app and check it out.
You don't need the internet to do that one. The most important thing is that you have it on your phone.
That's really cool.
Sadly, you guys with iOS don't have it.
So this is only available for Android?
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'm guessing the developers will be bringing it to iOS very soon.
Please don't do it for them.
So
thank
that
you.
Is Wodiru or Wodiru.
I won't mention it again.
Okay. So that is the first app for the day. It's a food app, basically giving you an insight into some of the recipes, the local recipes.
Yeah.
And it's just local meals.
Local meals, Ghanaian food and snacks.
Brilliant.
Our second app is for both iOS and Android.
Okay.
It's called Charity Miles.
Charity Miles.
Yes.
Okay.
So as you've eaten from Wodiru, you're full, you're getting big, you're getting a pot belly like Philip.
Funny.
I didn't say anything. Then you get this app. Now, the special thing about this app is that as you walk, it generates income for charity.
How does it do that?
Well, they didn't explain it in detail. But what happens is they set a target for a certain period.
Okay.
You walk a certain number of miles, and then money will be generated with the app for charity.
I see.
So
once you're able to meet the target, you basically are sort of
giving
to the charity. That's interesting.
So for their current target ends on May 31st, 2017.
Okay.
And they want to raise $500,000.
I see. And you basically have to, so once you download the app and you join in, the number of steps that you take.
Uh-huh.
I see. That's pretty
brilliant. Keep fit for charity.
So basically, this is an app that encourages people to stay healthy, be healthy, and still be able to contribute to a greater cause.
To society, yeah.
That's a pretty awesome way of raising funds.
Exactly.
It's a very new way of raising money. I think it's pretty brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so today we have a food app and we have a health app. But in a health app sort of with
a charity
side to it. I think that's a very nice combination for the two. So for those of you who are interested in local meals, Wodiru is the app for you. And for those of you who are looking
at not just losing weight or maintaining, you know, your health status, but also finding a way to contribute to charity.
Yeah.
This other app that's available on, for both Android and iOS is a fantastic way to go. You can join lots of people from across the world who are basically also working for charity. And well, that's it for the app segment of the show. And that's it for today's show. I do hope you have enjoyed it thoroughly. It was such a riveting conversation with Ethel Kofi, CEO of Adele Technology Consulting. Congratulations to her and everything that she's doing for women in technology. Also, a big thank you to Amishadai Ofori and Jeffrey Oweku Sapong on the show for the trending segment, of course, in the app segment as well. It has been a pleasure coming your way today. I do hope that you do get back in touch if you have any questions, opinions, or thoughts to share. We'll be back same time next week with another great conversation on technology in Ghana. My name is Philip Ashon. You can reach me via Twitter at Kofi Ashon, and that is my handle. The show will be available as a podcast on cityfmonline.com and of course on my blog kofimusings.com. Till next week, stay techie.